Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Reverend Dr. Tom Baker is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The assigned reading for this Tuesday is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So ends the word of God. How appropriate during this Thanksgiving week that we have a text encouraging us to be thankful. I always like to be in a sermon with questions. Actually, I have two questions today. First of all, imagine you're sitting Thursday at your Thanksgiving meal, the turkey in front of you, and people around the table. Oftentimes, before our prayer, we would go around and ask people, what are you thankful for this past year? So the first question I have for you is, what two things would you be thankful for during 2019? You don't have to tell me, just put them in your mind. I mean, you've had a whole year, should have two things by now. All right, now for the second question. Keeping in mind the two items for which you are thinking about being thankful, I'm asking you to put your hand up if you were thankful for something that was negative in your life and caused pain, suffering, or violence. Isn't that interesting? Hands hardly ever go up. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be thankful for those things which make us happy and content, such as the birth of a child, a good marriage, finally paying off the mortgage, and so forth. But how many times are we thankful for something that was undesirable, harmful, or damaging in our lives? Wouldn't it be interesting to know that even in those negative situations, God is still in control, and he's watching over us. Well, I guess we do have Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. This verse is often misunderstood with the idea that whatever happens to you is always good. That's not what the verse is saying. The passage clearly states that even when evil occurs to us or personal suffering, God will work it out for our good. Let me give you a few examples. You really have a bad toothache. So you go to the dentist and he examines you and then he says, I'm really glad you came in today because if you had waited much longer, we would have had to pull the true tooth, and some of your other teeth might have also been in trouble. You see, painful beginning, good result. Or a person gets laid off or fired from work, and God finds another occupation with which he now looks forward to going to in the morning. Plus, it's higher wages. I'm sure you can think of many examples in 2019 where there was something that went wrong in your life and you were very upset. Maybe you even got a little angry at God, like the prophet did when God chose David to be king rather than what the prophet thought would be the other sons who looked more like a king, etc. A lot of times, God promises that things will turn out better than we expect. However, in our situation, that always does not seem to be the case. I don't say things aren't turning out from God's point of view. They do. But what is not always the case is that we're able to understand why God allowed such and such to happen to us. In Sri Lanka, when the tsunami hit, many people, including Lutherans, our Lutheran president and his wife were killed in the train accident. People wondering, why did God allow that? But we sent many Lutherans there to help rebuild, give them food. And these people looked and said, what are you doing here? Because they believed in karma, that had happened because they deserved it. And here were Lutherans helping them. And what's come out of it? We've got 3 new Lutheran churches because of the tsunami due in that particular area of the world. Now, you may be aware of this, that the word for thanks is Eucharistia, from which we get the English word Eucharist, which refers to the Lord's Supper. As Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, Eucharist, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Why is it so hard to give thanks to God when really bad things happen to us, when we are unable to understand why are these things happening to us? It is because, as Martin Luther said in 1518 during the Heidelberg Disputation, we're kind of theologians of self-glory. Our old Adam does the thinking all the time. That's why every sermon I do is to get people to stop thinking with their old Adam and start thinking like God. It means we often try to figure out, how does God regard me? And we look at our experience, our life, and then we make a decision from there. So, for example, if our harvest is abundant, God really loves us. That was the teaching of Judaism by the Pharisees. And if hail came down and destroys our harvest, I've done something wrong. I mean, how many times do you have even Lutheran people come to you and say, Pastor, what did I do to deserve this? I often remind them of the confession of sins that they have a lot of times on Sunday, that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Did you forget? That's what you say. So what are you asking God? So when something happens to us by nature, because we're sinful, we often become like Hindus or Buddhists who believe in karma, that what goes around comes around. That is a philosophy concerning in your life, God will decide your fate in the future by how you behave. So if things are going right in your life, you're going to get a lot of blessings from God. And if not, watch out. But the Christian view of God is totally different. We do not agree that the true God is a God of justice in the sense of giving you what you deserve, or else we'd all be going to hell. No, instead, the true God is a God of mercy in not giving you what you deserve, and a God of grace in giving you what you do not deserve. Christians are instead not theologians of self-glory. They're theologians of the cross, finding our information about God's attitude toward us by reading the Bible and learning what he promises. That's the big difference between law and gospel. The law are conditional promises. Do this and God will. The gospel are unconditional promises. He just gives you the forgiveness of sins through his promises. He promises that he is in charge of what is permitted to happen to us. And therefore, he says, all things will work out for your good, even when you are in the dark, how that is possible. 3 weeks ago, I had slipped out of bed onto the floor and I was unable to get up. My wife couldn't pick me up, called my son. The two of them couldn't pick me up. We got a neighbor who was really strong. They picked me up, put me in a chair. He called the doctor. I couldn't walk. He said, go to Mercy. So I went right to Mercy Hospital, and I was there for 3 days. And they gave me all kinds of fluids. And they found out I had dehydration and also pneumonia, but not the kind that's catchable. And during that time, my attitude toward this was really totally different than I think I would have had years ago. I said, God, what are you doing? I'm supposed to be on KFUO. I missed a whole week of KFUO, my radio program. I wasn't able to go out preaching. I had four congregations I was taking care of. But I didn't have that attitude. I was lying in the bed in the hospital saying, boy, I'm looking forward to see the good you're going to bring out of this. Because that's his promise. And so I was in a hospital bed. Then I was in a wheelchair. Then I was in a walking thing I had to hold on to. And I'm with a cane. And I hardly need to use that. But the doctor says, take it along with you all the time, Tom. All I know is that I am now able to walk, but more importantly, I'm able to do what I love most, preaching right now with you, as well as four more congregations this week that I'm driving to and preaching at. I'm still not quite sure all the good that God is bringing out of it, but I don't care. Because he promises he is, so I leave it up to him. Who knows, next week I could be back not being able to walk. But fortunately, God has given me a wife who was a former nurse, and so I think I drink 8 gallons of water a day or something, I don't know. During this Thanksgiving celebration that's coming up, there is much that we can properly be thankful for in receiving the good things from our caring God. But this year, perhaps when you sit down to eat together, and maybe you have the little conversations that we often have, rather than asking what's the good thing that happened to you this week, were there any kind of bad, evil, suffering things that happened to you, and how did God work it out to your good? And then you might be able to permit those who did have suffering and can't figure out why God allowed it, so that they can come to an understanding. But maybe we won't know until we get to heaven. Because the Bible does not demand that you understand why God does what he does, but rather that you trust his promises that he is doing what he has promised. God will work it out for your good. And therefore, it is that promise for which we give thanks to God this year. And perhaps when I'm preaching next Tuesday, I might not have this with me anymore. That's my prayer. But it doesn't matter, because he's going to still work whatever happens out to my good and to your good. Amen. May the promises of God that often do pass our understanding continue to sustain our faith in order to give thanks to God for everything that he has caused to happen in our lives. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Jamie Lynn Tinkey, who is serving the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.